I believe in the abundance mindset. I think Robert Kiyosaki talks about that as well. There's really an abundant life that's out there for everybody. And when people realize that and they realize what opportunity there is out there, then that's when they can really open up their horizons and do things like we're going to be talking about here today.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Lounge. If you're looking for flexible ways to earn income, grow your mindset, and live the lifestyle you've always dreamed of, you're in the right place. So lower the lights, grab your favorite beverage, and join your host, founder of NotaryCoach.com and Amazon best-selling author of Sign and Thrive, How to Make Six Figures as a Mobile Notary and Loan Signing Agent, Bill Soroka.
Cheers, and welcome to my guest today, Dave Kettner. Dave's a private label e-commerce expert, seller, and coach, and I have been looking forward to this conversation. Dave, thank you so much for joining us here in the Side Hustle Lounge.
Yes, thank you, Bill. Appreciate having me on.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that we're doing this because I was introduced to you through another guy that I respect and who's changed my life with his book, but Robert Kiyosaki. I saw you doing a webinar with him talking about this concept of private label Amazon work, in particular, the mugpreneur opportunity. Really got my attention.
He loves it because anytime you are, you know, we're actually empowering people to be entrepreneurs, especially with the power of that the online presence offers us. You know, he absolutely loves it. So yes, I've been working with him since 2015 is when I was first introduced to him in his office, and we've done lots of cool things together. In fact, actually, I wrote a book with him back in 2015. It was called the Amazon Millionaire. And he co-authored it with me, and we put it out together. In fact, it was actually the second time he's ever co-authored a book at that time in 2015. I was the second one, only second to Donald Trump. Donald Trump was his first one.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's my little call.
Interesting.
I thought that was pretty cool. So he
doesn't. Well, it really is. Yeah, exactly. And I know you live in Arizona. I know Robert has a home here in Arizona. Did you meet in person? Tell me how you met him.
A good question. So it was through a mutual friend, and I was actually working with Jason Kassenbach and Matt Clark from the Amazing Selling Machine. That's how I learned how to do the Amazon private label business back in 2013. And I was actually one of their better students, and they knew that I was a teacher. So they were asking me to help them with coaching other people and whatnot. And they at the time were working with Robert's Rich Dad Office and trying to get him to promote their program. And the only thing was they weren't doing nothing. No one in their office was doing anything with Amazon, and they didn't know how to promote it or how to coach and that sort of thing. And yet I was over here, the coach side of things. So basically Jason approached me and they connected the two of us together. And he said, he goes, how would you like to work with Robert Kiyosaki in the Rich Dad Office? And I said, well, that would be great. I said, but I don't know them. How am I going to make the connection? He goes, but I know him, so I will connect the two of you guys. And that's how it started. He connected me to the guys in their office, and then that led to me actually meeting with the man himself. And, we did some interviews together. He actually spoke at my live event that summer in 2015. And yeah, we've done several things since then, which is really cool.
That is really cool. I mean, did you ever see this coming? Did you have this mapped out and planned out, that private label on Amazon and then working in partnership with Robert Kiyosaki was going to be?
You know how life works, Billy. You never really plan things out. I think I knew that I was going to do some interesting things in my life. I didn't know what specifically they were. But it's really how I think God works in my life is just, he opens up doors for me that some things I never knew were possible. And as it happens, you kind of just get a bigger picture of what, he wants for your life. And so I can't say I ever envisioned that specifically, but, I had a feeling that, good things were continuing to happen. And it just, that's how life has been for me as the years go on here. So it's really, for me, it's all about, and this is why I'm doing this. This is why I actually help others, is because I know that when I give back and I help others achieve what I've been blessed with, that returns, not that I wanted the return, but it's just the way it works. I mean, I go out there, make a difference in this world, and it comes back tenfold. It's a biblical principle, and it's the way that I live my life. My wife and I live together, and it's blessed us beyond I could ever imagine.
That's beautiful. I love that concept of giver's gain.
It's true. And like I said, that's not the reason why we do it, you know, but that's really the benefit that comes from it. So I'm doing whatever I can to do what I've been called to do in this life. And that, you know, is to try to make this world a better place. And I believe in the abundance mindset. I think Robert Kiyosaki talks about that as well. There's really an abundant life that's out there for everybody. And this whole mindset of, you know, just that there isn't, it's really the opposite of that. And when people realize that and they realize what opportunity there is out there, then that's when they can really open up their horizons and do things like we're going to be talking about here today.
Yeah, I love that abundant mindset. And it sparked a question though, because, you know, sometimes some of our listeners might be faced with circumstances where it's hard to see the abundance through what's happening right now. Yeah. Have you ever experienced that? And if so, how do you remind yourself of abundance?
So that's a great question. You know, that is obviously there's going to be struggles in our life. It happens all the time. And it makes you wonder, hey, am I doing the right things? You know, with all aspects, whether it be relationships, whether it be business, you know, all friendships, it's just, it's part of life. And I think it is that ever battle that we're faced in our life. I almost want to say it's a spiritual battle of good against evil, really. And, you know, so when I am faced with those pitfalls, those low periods, you know, again, I'm a spiritual person and I always ask, you know, God, and I say, hey, why is this happening? What are you trying to teach me in this moment? Cause, you know, I believe, you know, God talks about in the Bible, he says that, you know, everything happens for the greater good. Okay. So there's something greater good happening in even those low things that happen in your life, death of a family member, loss of a job, you know, any of that stuff. You know, it's like, well, what's the good in that? And so what I'm always trying to do is ask for that higher presence to say, hey, please show me what this is. And so that has helped me get through those low times in my life. There's been times where it happened in 2015 where I just think that, you know, I was like, whoa, this is, you know, like you said, you ever see this happening? When it happens to you, you're like, wow, this is amazing, right? Sometimes that goes to your head. And when that goes to your head, you get some pride issues. You get some, you know, you realize, you try to think that this is you, maybe that was, that the success came from what you were doing. And really it's not, in my opinion, you know, it's again, I think it's blessings. And when you try to think that it's all you and you think you're all that, then all of a sudden, it's about time for you to get knocked down. And that happened to me at the end of 2015. And so I had to realize, you know, where my strength and power comes from. And then I had to readjust and get back to it. So, I mean, that whenever these down things happen, I think you look for the greater good in it. And that's how I get through it. So I know there's a lot of people that are struggling probably as they're listening to this here today. And, you know, it's just trying to understand that, hey, this happens to everybody. But there's good that's can happen from anything. It's just a matter of trying to find out what that is and get to a better place.
Beautiful, Dave. I love that philosophy on life. So I can tell that it's serving you really well. So let's look at what we're here to talk about. You know, I had invited Todd Snively earlier in the year to talk about Amazon wholesaling. That's different than the Amazon private label. Can you maybe share what Amazon private label or just a private label experience is and the difference
between wholesaling? Amazon private, well, any kind of private labeling is basically where you're putting your name to a product. So you create or you already have a brand name, you're putting it onto your own product, right? So it doesn't matter what it is. If you're able to get something manufactured and be able to sell it as your own brand, put your brand name on it, that's private labeling. Okay. And there are manufacturers all over the world that do this. Sometimes they call it OEM, you know, where they're actually able to, you know, they let you know as you go and you try to find these manufacturers that you can actually make something with us and we will put your brand name on it. And there's other things that you can't do that with. Like, you know, if you go to Apple and say, hey, I want to put my own brand name onto an iPhone, you know, they're not going to do that, right? There's certain companies that will not allow you to do that. They have the ownership of that. They're not going to allow you to have your own phone that's the exact same thing as an iPhone. You call it, hey, this is Dave's phone. You know, I mean, you call it your phone, but you can't market it as that, right? So there's plenty of things you can do that with. And what I try to tell people is, you know, that what can you do this with is think about if you're out there, go to shop for something. Are you looking for the name brand or are you just looking for the first thing that comes up? You know, if you're looking for something generic. So if you're going out looking for toilet paper, are you going to be looking for a name brand? And most of the time you are, right? Maybe you've been using the same kind of like Charmin's very, you know, maybe that's a nice comfort, you know, padding. And you're like, I definitely want Charmin. You're not going to go to, you know, Bill's value toilet paper. It's like, what is that? There's no way I want to take, it might be cheaper, but I don't want to even trust that one, right? No offense, Bill. You know, but.
Right. Hey, I don't blame you. It's too risky.
Now, whereas if you're going to go out and we're going to talk about here a little bit, coffee mugs, you know, if you go out there and look for, you know, looking for a specific design on a coffee mug, there isn't one name brand that really comes to mind that you're out there looking for a coffee mug, right? I mean, if you think about it, think about things that you think name brand, like toilet paper comes to mind, cars come to mind, refrigerators, electronics, you know, but there's certain things that just you go on Amazon, for example, and you're looking for stuff. You're not looking for a name brand. You're looking for a keyword, right? You're looking for a specific something and you're trying to describe it so that wouldn't be brand driven, where you're not putting sneakers in there. You're looking for Nikes or Reeboks, right? Those are two different things there. That's how, and there, like I said, there's companies out there that you can put your private name brand to it. And that's what private labeling is.
Awesome. Okay. That does a good job of explaining that. So let's, and you mentioned mugs, and that's how you've, just the niche that you've carved for yourself as the mugpreneur. So how does that work?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So the whole thing with the mugs, and now we're talking a little bit different here, because we actually, you know, about 2 years ago is, you know, this whole private label thing, it is about putting your brand name onto a product, right? So I just want to kind of go back a little bit. Because what that takes is an investment into inventory. All right. So when you are actually creating something, you're buying it in advance. And a lot of times we start on Amazon because over 50% of the online sales in the USA happen on Amazon. So we want to put it in front of those buyers that are already there shopping, right? The problem is that you have to pay for that upfront. So if we were, say, talk about coffee mugs and, you know, we want to buy a specific design, you know, we're going to have to buy probably at least 100 of them, maybe 200. Mugs to put up there for sale. Well, now you're talking some outlet of money, right? In that case, you're talking probably about $1,000. And a lot of times when, you know, I used to work with Amazon's, you know, with private label sellers, teach them how to do Amazon, that sort of thing. You know, I let them know, hey, it's going to take, you know, $1,000, maybe $2,000 of inventory up front to put to Amazon for sale. Amazon also has gotten very difficult. As more people have come there and they started to sell their own stuff and whatnot, there's more competition. So you have to do more marketing stuff, and that marketing is also going to cost you money. So my whole point with that, just to give you the premises of this, is that it takes a lot of money to get a private label business started on Amazon. All right. So fast forward when I started in 13, teach people how to do it, to get into, you know, 2019, 2 years ago or so, I started saying, hey, how can I teach people how to get started in this with this business model without money, an outlay of money? Because most people, you know, if they're buying a course, which I highly recommend to buy a course that works, because that is going to be your roadmap. And if you don't have a roadmap, you're going to be probably wasting more money than the course would have cost you anyway. All right. So you need that roadmap, but you're going to have to pay for that up front. So now you already have money into a course. You're going to have money in the inventory. How can I teach people how to get started without outlaying money on inventory? That's where this whole mug thing came about. So I started looking into the POD side of the business, which is print on demand. All right. And the reason why the whole mug thing came about is because if you think about it, mugs are something that is an easy buy. It's an easy purchase. It's cheap. It's something that people buy for gifts. It's something that can be created very easily. It's something that literally, I mean, people are buying all the time. If you think about it, let me ask you, Bill, if I were to ask you, and you probably don't know off the top of your head, but in your kitchen, in your pantry, you know, whatever, in your house, how many ceramic mugs do you think you have?
At least 12 to 18 of them.
Okay. And that, believe it or not, that's on the low side. Okay.
Really?
Most people, when I ask them, they say somewhere between 30 and 50. Okay. Cool. Now think about this. How many do you think you've bought as a, you know, your family, as your household, either for you or for somebody else over the past year?
Oh my gosh, a lot.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of, it's like the go-to whenever I need a gift.
True. All right.
Or so I'm traveling or something.
What we did was we went and looked at how many households were in the US. And at the time when I researched it, there was about 130 million households. All right. So if we just determine that each household would buy just 3 mugs a year, because remember, they break, they're a great gift. And most people say they'd probably buy more than 3, but let's keep it very conservative here. I like to keep it conservative, and let's look at what this could possibly be, and that we can think on a higher level. You know, maybe we can start throwing out some higher numbers later. But let's just be very conservative and say that each household maybe would buy 3 mugs in a year. Well, 130 million households times 3 mugs a year, we're talking almost 400 million mugs in the U.S. And this is just the USA, by the way. Just the USA alone would be purchasing mugs. Well, that's a big market, all right? A very big market. And mugs are very easy. It's a very easy buy, because it could be anywhere from, you know, we're talking like $15 to $20 purchase. It's an easy purchase. It's something that we can design. We can actually put something on the mug that's unique, very different to other people. And with print on demand, we can also have it personalized, whether it be someone's name, whether it be someone's date, whether it be their picture. You know, we can do their wedding date, their anniversary. You know, there's a lot of things we can do here. So that kind of then takes away that competition, because we can make it very unique. All right. So all these things came together, and probably even more than that, but I just want to give the higher level picture of where we're at, of why we did this, to help people get started. Because with a print on demand, what happens is you put these products, in this case, a mug, up on sale, places like Etsy and Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything inventory wise to put up the listing. Now, don't get me wrong. People are going to say, oh, wait a second. It's not free. You're right. On Etsy, it costs 20 cents for every listing you put up there. On Amazon, it does cost $40 a month for a seller's account. All right. So I just want to throw that out there. So people are saying, hey, wait a second. You said there's no cost. There's no cost for the product. All right. So if I were in a weekend, were to show you, Bill, how to do, say, 100 mugs to post them up, let's say in Etsy, 100 times 20 cents, quick math.
Oh, geez, $20?
Yes, good job. That was very good. Yes.
All right.
$20 to put up 100 mugs. And that $20 would keep those listings live for actually 4 months. If a sale goes through, it actually renews and it goes through for another 4 months, okay? But you can put 100 mugs up for sale on a brand new Etsy store, and Etsy is not going to charge you a monthly fee or anything, all right, besides the cost of 20 cents to put it up there. So for $20, you have mugs up there for sale, for, you know, with 100 mugs, and now you can start selling those to people. Now, you're not paying for that inventory, because it's just a listing that's up there. Now, what happens is, this whole model is, when a sale goes through, all right, you get paid for that order. So let's just do easy math here and just say with the price of the mug and shipping, it's $20. So a customer will pay you $20. It goes through Etsy and says, hey, you have a new order. Make sure you fulfill this, and here's your $20. All right. Now, on the other side of that, we have a supplier that we work with, all right? We actually will have that order go to our print-on-demand supplier. We'll print that mug for us. It'll take maybe three business days on the low end, up to 8 business days. They print it. They ship it. The shipping, then we get the tracking number, and that's what we give to the customer on Etsy. And then, boom, they charge us, you know, what it is to buy that, to actually produce that. A lot of times it's going to be, with the shipping and the cost of the mug, we're talking about $10. Doing easy math here. Don't be exact. Right. All right.
Right. Right.
There's going to be a little bit of, I think there's like a 5% charge that Etsy charges you for transaction fees or whatever. But again, easy math. If the customer paid you $20, it costs you $10 to sell. You make the difference $10. All right.
Wow.
Now that's a 50% margin. So I'm going to drop it down to say 35 to 40%. Profit margin, because we have some fees in there. You might have some ad costs, that sort of thing. Okay. But that's how this business model works. And now I can show somebody how to have a business where they're making money without having hardly any outlay besides maybe your time and effort, right, to make it happen. And now I can get them making money online a lot of times for the first time ever, because people have tried, like, oh, I want to make money.
Tried everything.
Well, yeah. And last thing I want people to do is to spend money out of their wallet and say, hey, I've lost money in this business. All right. With this business, you can't lose money. All right. You can lose time, but you can't lose the money. All right. So now we have a business model that people can start making money. They can start then generating success. And then what happens, looking down the road, you know, as far as you mentioned, we talked about private label before. Once you find some winners with this whole thing, now you can utilize your profits to buy some of that stock and put it into Amazon FBA. Now you have a private label business. All right. So the way I've done this now is I made it so it's kind of like a stair-stepping business, kind of like a business 101 to a business 102 or 201, like a college course, right? And I did it in a way now so people can learn to make money first and then utilize their profits to grow their business after. All right. So that's kind of how that whole works. And I know I spoke a long time there, Bill, but I have to explain it like in detail like that so people can understand what it is that we're talking about here.
I'm so glad that you did that too, because I, not understanding the business, I don't know that I would know what questions to ask to get there. So that was beautiful. And here's the disappointing part for me, Dave. There's a part of me that had hoped that during our conversation, I was going to not like this business and not be in love with it. But that has got me so fired up. My wheels are turning. The last thing I need is another side hustle, but I think I've got one now with this. But I do have some more questions, if you don't mind. I'd like to probe a little deeper on that. Yeah. You said find some winners. And what keeps going through my head is, how much freedom do you have to create? And what is it that you're trying to create on these mugs that people would buy?
So that's a great question. First of all, the answer to the first part of your question, you have the full freedom to do whatever it is that you want to do with that, right? So it's, I mean, we start on Etsy just because Etsy is less competition. It's easier. There's more people there looking for handmade products, which they consider this a handmade product, okay? The only holdback is the fact that it's going to cost you 20 more cents for everything you put up there, right? All right, so, okay, that's the only thing.
Manageable, yeah.
But the, you know, the rest of that question is, you know, this kind of like, I mean, well, first of all, there's no holdback, so you can do whatever it is. And I'm forgetting what the other part of the question was now that I said all that.
How do you find a winner? How do you decide what mug?
Yeah. What we do is, I always say that success leaves clues. All right. So you can go out there and see what people are doing well with. All right. You mentioned winners, right? So we can go out and see what other people's winners are. All right. And it's something that I teach in my course. I work with my students and I show them exactly how to find winners. Now, we got to make sure that we're very clear about something here. Some people think that finding winners is, oh, let's go ahead and copy those winners. Okay. We're not going to copy other people. Like I said, we live in an abundant world. We don't have to copy exactly someone else's intellectual property, though we can utilize their success to make something similar, similar design, a similar message on the mug, something like that, and create that. So it will come across, it'll be actually different than what the other person that was doing well with. And it, you know, other people, what I say is, you know, there's a lot of customers that will like different things. So if I were to lay out, like if we don't have any video here today, but if we were to put a video and I had a slide of three different mugs and we took a poll of everyone that's listening to this podcast right now and said, hey, which one of those three would you pick, A, B, or C? It would probably be pretty even across the board. That, you know, someone like the first one, someone like the second, someone like the third. You and I might like something totally different. So to give give the customers options, that's actually a good thing. All right. So we're really not stepping on the shoes of someone else, even though the message might be the same or the design might be similar, but we're giving more options out there to the marketplace. All right. So we're not copying, but we're copying the idea, seeing that it markets well to that niche of people. All right. And then we go ahead and put something out there. So if I were to break it down as an example for you, we could talk about how, you know, we've gone through this and some people will say we're still in it. I like to think we're beyond it, but let's talk about like pandemic, right? And what we went through during that time, or sometimes, you know, people are still going through this, right? We went through a lockdown. We went through a toilet crisis. We went through, you know, vaccinations and, you know, people losing their jobs, whatever. I don't like to make fun of that because some of that, you know, that's, we don't want to make light of some of that. Some of that stuff was pretty serious. Some people, you know, we lost people, you know, some people might have, you know, lost a very close loved one. Now with that being said, we can put messages out there that people will relate to, that they went through a time or they're going through a time. And when it came to the pandemic, there was a lot of different designs on mugs that sold amazingly. And for example, I'm looking at one right now. Actually, I'm drinking that one. You can't see me, those of you listening to this call, but it was specifically about somebody. So like a boss, a friend, a mom, a dad. And it says, this one is a friend. A friend like you is harder to find than toilet paper during a pandemic. All right. That sold like crazy. All right. And all we did, we made it unique. Some people had the same kind of thing. We used different fonts. We used different little images on there and whatnot. And it related to different people. And it took off. Now, I'm hoping that the design stops selling because I don't want to be in a pandemic anymore or have anything to do with it. But as long as people are still buying stuff, we'll put it up there for sale.
I love that. So I could make one that was witty and funny about the 65 pounds I gained during pandemic or something like that.
Could right? be the 60. Yeah, exactly. And you can make it too that people can put whatever number that is. So for you at 65, you know, for someone it might be 15 or 20, or someone might be 100 plus. You know, I don't know what it is, but you can make it where they could change that. You know what I'm saying? Nice. So they can actually make it very specific, so it's targeted to exactly what. Who was the person? Well, that would be a tough one to give to someone as a gift, unless you're buying it for yourself, right?
Right. Yeah, true, right? Could be offensive.
Right.
Well, okay. So, you know, when I watched you and Robert on, I think it was a webinar, you got my wheels turning then too. So tell me, is this a strategy we could implement? I started thinking about my wittiest friends, the ones that have these token slogans or phrases that they use all the time. We even have our own inside jokes that other people might find funny. Could we print those on mugs and see if they sell?
So as long as it is something you own, like it's, it doesn't have to be a copyright, but you have to make sure it's not copyrighted. Okay. Or trademark name. So like, for example, I'm not going to put a mug out there that says, just do it.
Right.
All right. That's a copyrighted phrase. Yeah. All right. Or anything like that. So, but for you and your business, if you have something, I'll give you an example. I work with Onyx Singhal. He is an amazing entrepreneur. He has his own brand he built called Learn, and it's LURN. Oh, yeah. And his phrase line is, stand tall. What does he say? When life pushes you, stand tall and straight and push it the heck back. All right. That's his phrase. Now, I don't know if he ever copyrighted it or not, but I would not use his phrase on my mugs. You know, that would be his thing. If he ever saw me, that I was doing that, I don't think he'd be very happy with me, especially if I was making money and not giving him the benefit of it. Right. Something like that. So if you, and then I would copyright that too, if that was something that you're pushing out there. So whatever yours is, more than likely, I'm guessing you guys use it because it's not used by anybody else. And yeah, definitely you can put that on a mug.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That just opens up so many doors. And I love that you mentioned Onyx as well. I read several of his books that helped me in my business several times, especially when it came to content and email marketing. Okay, so the other additional question I wanted to ask is, we're talking very specifically about mugs here. What is there a bigger opportunity here as well?
Oh my gosh, totally. So we're just talking about starting with mugs, right? With print on demand, there's tons of opportunities. I mean, if you just go on to Etsy, go on to Amazon and look at anything that can be personalized, all right? You can search for that specific word, personalized, and then whatever, all right? And see what products that are out there, what you can personalize. If it's out there to be personalized, more likely there is a supplier that will do that for you. All right. So the one specific one that I work with, the company is called Icon Ecom, and they have over 100 products that you can personalize, many different variations, different things like that. So if you find a winner, a lot of times we're going to take that winner, we're going to put it on all kinds of different products. This is how you can take your business and multiply it overnight, basically, because you're taking the design you already have and you're putting it onto other drinkable items like a travel mug and a tumbler and a water bottle, and you push it to a t-shirt and you push it to a sweatshirt and a bag and a pillow and whatever. I mean, there's tons of things, hats, socks, bags. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of things you can push it to. There's no end to this business when it comes to the print on demand side of things. And it's just a matter of, like I said, the time and effort it takes to put those things up. Like right now, we're actually, as we're recording this, we're coming into a holiday time of year, and I can't put enough products up for sale because I just have so much time in a day, right? I even have a team of people that work. We can only still do so much in a day. We want to make sure that we're doing the right things and doing quality stuff, not just throwing junk up there, right? You're only limited by the time you have in a day, basically, to get it done. So really, there's sky's the limit when it comes to this business.
I love that. Again, got my wheels absolutely turning here. It sounds like the startup investment is relatively small all the way around. So there's no inventory investment. Aside from investing in a course that kind of shines the light on how to do this, what other expenses can people look for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there is, obviously, like I said, we said a course, right? So a course is a good thing to have. If people are like, oh, I can go out and find things on YouTube. You can. You don't know if it's up to date. You don't know how valid it is. It's not structured well. there's a lot of things that I could say why you'd want to actually do it through someone else. But of course, it's going to be the one. You're going to want to have some kind of keyword research tool. In my course, I talk about a few of them. We could talk anywhere from a few dollars, a month to, like a $50 you buy one time fee. So it's not much money we're talking about here. In fact, the one I recommend, I think is $47. We have a student link, but if you're not a student, it's $67. It's not much. Okay. You would also want to have some way to design, right? I actually have I'm not a designer, just so you know. I'm not good at designing. I'm not creative when it comes to that stuff, but when I can actually get by a tool and utilize that to make some good designs. One of the things that I use all the time is called WordSwag. It's an app that you can get for your iPhone or Android, whatever you use. And it costs a whopping $5 a month to put different things in there, different sayings. And it can tell you like 500 different options for designs of one phrase that you put in there. So there's so much creativity you can do with that one thing. If that's not your thing, you can actually pay someone. You can go onto Fiverr and have them say, hey, here's this design that I found. Can you make something similar that's not copying it? And they charge you $5 to do that. You know, so one way or another, unless you are a designer, you want to do it yourself, you're going to need some kind of tool or a service to do it for you. Okay, so that's other expense. And the other thing would be, you don't have to pay for ads. Etsy has an ads platform. It doesn't cost you that much to run it. I highly recommend that people turn on the Etsy ads as long as you are doing your keywords correctly, which is why you need that keyword tool. And if you're doing your keywords correctly, you're going to get good target traffic. You're probably going to, what's going to cost you in those ads is going to be just taken out of your profits, basically, because that's going to go through. But that would be the only other thing to consider. But like I said, I usually don't tell people to factor that into your cost, because usually that's going to be factored in into your revenue. All right. So it's already going to come out of the top of that. So really out of pocket, we're talking about course, we're talking about a couple of tools or designing tools, that sort of thing. And that's really about it. There's not much out of pocket when it comes to starting this business.
Yeah, that's intriguing for sure. So what keeps coming to my head, because I know that this has been pretty popular. Is there a such thing as oversaturation in a market like this? And if so, or even if not, how do you stand out?
So there's always, that's something that people are going to ask is about, did I miss the boat on this? Is it oversaturated? That sort of thing. And with some things, yes, that would be the case. With this business, not so much. And it's because you can make things so unique that you're selling something that no one else is. All right. That's just the design side of things. Now, when we talked about earlier about the personalization side of things, now it's totally unique. There's no way that you're selling anything exactly the same as somebody else. Okay. And there's so many different, let me give you an example. That one design we're talking about, remember I read it to you and I said, friend, boss, mother, dad, think about all the different people you can put on there. Right. So if you come up with a design, you can think about how you target it to, whether it be someone in your family, whether it be a coworker, whether it be someone you're giving for a gift. I mean, you could design things for a sports team, your local sports team. You could have a fundraiser for a school. There's so many things you can do. You always can target different dates. You can target different people's weddings or anniversaries, their engagements. Think about all the different holidays you can have, and then you can target professions. I mean, there's like I said, the pandemic one. We're targeting professions. Right. So people are buying it specifically for what profession that person was. That's why I always say the sky's the limit with this thing. It really, your only limitation is your imagination. And so I don't worry about oversaturation. I don't worry about sharing this idea with other people because of those specific reasons. And and to be honest with you, Bill, I can talk about this business till I'm blue in the face. I can market it to a lot of people, and the majority of people will still not do anything with it or take it to the point where they possibly can. So there's not that many people that you're competing with, even though there's people like me that are out there saying, hey, this is working, do something with it. And yet this is what I do for a living, not selling the course, not teaching students with coaching, but the product business itself. That's what I do for a living. All right. So yeah. I'm still using this to pay, to put, you know, the food on the table, to keep the house, the roof over my head, and everything that we do for our family, right? This is what I do for a living. I do the product business. I'm a product business owner. All right. That's my main business, not a coach or a seller of courses.
Yeah. Personally, I find that really comforting, and I respect it a lot because I like to take advice from people who are down in the trenches with me doing that. So I have two more final questions for you. Since we're talking about the course, and I know that you have a course, and for those who are listening and you're intrigued, as intrigued as I am about Dave, you can go to sidehustlelounge.com/VIP, join the VIP room, and I'll have all the links to Dave's course and more information in there for you as well. But what would you say are the three biggest benefits to learning from you inside your course?
Well, I think one of the biggest benefits is, like I just shared, I do this for a living. This is not I'm not a has-been. I like to hope that doesn't ever change. You know, I'm in the trenches doing this daily. So I'm able to know exactly what is working now. I'm able to keep up with the updates with whatever that's going on, which happens often with especially with Amazon. Amazon's always changing. But as things are growing and developing, that sort of thing, I'm updating my course. I'm updating my students. So this is what I'm doing for a living. And so that's what I'm showing people. Hey, this is exactly what's happening today. All right. Not what happened last month or last year. This is what's happening now. All right. So that's a big thing. I always say to people, before you invest in a course, ask the course creator, do they do this for a living still, right? Are they doing it? And a lot of times they'll tell you, a lot of times they won't answer you because the answer is no. Because a lot of times they teach you after that boat has already left the harbor, basically, right? So that's one. The second thing is I'm a coach. I'm a teacher at heart. I was actually, that was what I went to college for. I went to school for history, secondary ed. I was actually teaching in a school district where I never actually taught history. I was teaching other things for 6 years. I was a teacher trainer for 6 years. So they developed me to a point where they're like, hey, Dave's so good at teaching kids. Let's have him teach other teachers. That's what I did for 6 years. All right. So my background before I actually say I retired from the whole teaching thing in the public school district, which was in 2009, May of 2009 is when I left the schooling system that's it. I've been working on my own since then, and loving every minute. I always say I'm unemployable. There's no way I'm going to go work for somebody else per hourly wage ever again. Okay. So, because I had that teacher background, you know, I think I've told it, I've been, again, I don't like patting myself on the back, Bill, but you know, people will tell me all the time that, hey, Dave is a natural teacher. And this is why I want you to learn from him, because I know how to get to people. I know how my content is around ways that work, different modalities of learning, you know, visually, written wise, audio wise, all that stuff. And I do it in a structured way so people can follow things and take action on things moving forward. So it's not something that's hard to understand. All right. There's no tech skills really involved with this. I'm not a techie person at all myself. All right. So that's two, right? So I do it. I know I'm good at teaching it. And, you know, the third thing is that, you know, this is a hot thing. And there's a few other people that are teaching the way, they're teaching something similar, but not the way I do it. You know, I teach it, as we talked about in the beginning, kind of like this structured approach to start with this POD model specifically on Etsy, which not too many people were talking about Etsy at all. People like to jump. It's like, and I get students all the time to say this to me, say, hey, you're telling me that 50% of the sales is happening on Amazon. I want to start there. I say, oh yeah, I would love to start there too. But guess what? I tried it And that's where there's more failure. All right. So the way I teach it is built not only for success for me, but success for you more importantly. All right. So the way I teach it, no one is really there teaching it this way, where I'm teaching print on demand stuff, Etsy, move to other products next with your successes, then move to Amazon POD personalization, which just means that there's no reason to put stuff up the Amazon POD unless there's personalization involved, because most Amazon customers, they want it within 2 days. They've been structured that way, right? So they think, right, that, hey, it's on Amazon, I better have it in my house in 2 days, right? They're conditioned to that. So we say personalized products, then they know that it doesn't exist, that it's going to take some time to develop it. And then once we have that working, now we, like I said, we take these profits, we can put it towards an FBA model where that private label comes in, we can create it now, put it in stock in Amazon, and we start really cranking out profits after that. Nobody is out there teaching it this way. No one has kind of cracked my formula. I'm sure there's going to be people out there that are going to start copying me, and that's fine. But again, it's those who are first to market and come out there with the material first are usually better. Right. So really, those are the three things, Bill, if that answers your question, you know, that I do it. I've been told I'm a great teacher at doing it, and the structure, the way I teach it, no one else is out there doing it that way. And not only that, but I can add a fourth one. It's okay. Affordable. It's really affordable. I've been told too, there's no way I'm charging what this thing is worth. And, I've talked to people that are charging thousands of dollars for less of material, and yet, you know, I don't charge that much at all for this.
You got me so fired up, Dave. I'm like, sign me up. Like, I think I want to prioritize this even more into my own long-term business plan.
And I'm sure those of you guys that are listening to this, that was not the intention of this, was to sell Bill. that's always a good thing when whoever's interviewing has you on as a guest is actually saying, well, my gosh, as soon as we get off this call, I'm going to start. And I've had people say this before, Bill, by the way.
Yeah.
You got me so fired up that as soon as I'm done recording this, I am going to go start taking your course and getting started on this right away.
I'm serious. I'm going to actually do that because awesome. This fits perfectly into my plan as well. Awesome. Now, I thought of one more question before my final question. Just to give people a time frame here, from course to revenue, what kind of time frame is that for somebody who's committed?
Yeah, it really, honestly, it depends on the time of year. We have some big selling seasons for print on demand stuff. Obviously, Christmas season is going to be one of those. The second biggest is during Mother's Day, Father's Day period of time of year. You have Easter in there as well, and a few other things like graduations, that sort of thing. That's our second busiest time. If you are starting this business around those periods, you can get things happening much, much faster than if, say, you're starting at the end of July and August. All right. There's not as many people that are out there shopping. People are doing their summer vacations, you know, getting ready for school to start up, that sort of thing. It'll take a little bit longer. So it really depends on the time of year. Now, there's just things that I've been testing out on, like I said, because I do this for a living. And one of the things that we found out that it takes Etsy a little while to get a store rolling. And I've been going over finding better ways to help people get their store off the ground, get that snowball building, if you will. Think of it this way. Those of you guys that live up in the North Country that get snow, or if you've ever been in snow and you've tried to build a snowman, all right, this is an analogy I like to use all the time. Think about how long it takes to get that first initial snowball building for the bottom ball of a snowman, all right? You start with, and it depends how good, obviously, your pack. We can get specific here, how good your packing snow is, but let's say you have some good packing snow, and you get started with a little snowball. Those of you guys that never did this before, you know, take my word for it. You make a little snowball, kind of like the size of a baseball. And then the point is you start rolling it on the ground and it builds bigger and bigger. At first, it takes you a little while to build that ball to make it bigger and bigger. Now, once it becomes, you know, half the size you want it to be, now to get it to that final size you want that big part of the snowman to be, it's a lot easier. It only takes a few more pushes. It's like that with Etsy. It takes a little while to get that initial snowball built, but once you start building it and building it, and you get more listings and you get some more sales, you get some favorite stores, you get some reviews. Now it starts going faster. It's a snowball effect that builds faster and faster. If you're doing it during a holiday time, it does it quicker. If you're doing it during a slow time, it takes a little bit longer. So I can't be specific on the time frames, but I can tell you that, you know, that's the kind of way it works. And I'm actually developing different ways now, which I'm starting to share with my students, how to get that to happen even faster. It depends. I mean, it doesn't even depend on the time of year. There's things that we can do that will sell year round as well. So hopefully that answered your question without being too specific.
Yeah, I think it does. Just setting the expectation. And then as far as, let's say you get through the initial push for your snowman on Etsy, how much time can someone expect to commit to their business?
And it depends.
Every week.
You can put full-time hours into it. If you just want to put an hour a day or a few hours a week, you know, it's up to you, but you're going to get out of it what you put into it. That's why I always tell people. All right. So if you're working a full-time job and you can only put 10 hours a week into this, then put 10 hours in a week into it. Make it happen. Follow exactly the way I teach you how to do it. And because then you'll get there sooner rather than later. If you have no work right now and you can put 40 to 60 hours a week in, put 40 to 60 hours a week in. Make it happen. Because then the sooner you get that rolling for you, then the sooner you can have an income coming back in if you have no job. Right. So it's dependent upon you. But it's your own business. So it really is up to you how fast you want to grow it, what you want to grow it to. You know, the sky's the limit with all that stuff. So it really is dependent upon you as a factor of what you want to build and how much you want to build it. So it's hard to answer the question, but that's the way I would answer it, because it really depends on what people want to put into it.
Yeah. So, and I guess even the kind of the back door to the question would be, is if somebody is, they're hustling full time, they've got a full time gig, whether it's a business or a job, they can still start this part time.
Oh, totally. Yes. I would say most of my students, that's where they're at. So that's what they're doing. You know, they're actually doing stuff during a full time job, putting this on the side. And just a better question might be, you know, when could this take over my full time salary?
Yeah.
All right. And I always tell people, before you ever quit your job for your side hustle, I would recommend to make double on the side than you are at your full-time gig before retiring, quitting, whatever you want to call it. All right. And again, it really depends what you put into it. But with this business, it can happen pretty quickly. It could definitely, if you're putting the time and effort into it, it could definitely happen inside that first year if you wanted to. If you're only putting 2 hours in, you know, say 5 hours a week, it's going to take a little bit longer, right? So mm-hmm. it's up to you what you put into it. But and the thing is, I don't see this opportunity changing anytime soon. I just see it continue to grow. With that being said, I would tell people to hit it while the iron's hot, which is right now. Hit it while it's hot. You know, make it happen for you and your family. You know, because it's a great way to diversify your income. It's a great way to have, you know, to take a stress off, a load off your, you know, financial picture, wherever you may be. It's a great way to make a payment on something that you might be struggling to make, house, cars, whatever, you know. And another way you can get there is, you know, start sacrificing some of the things you don't really need in your life. There's a lot of people that spend time watching TV shows every night. Sacrifice the TV shows so if you were able to sacrifice now so you can enjoy the life you want to live later, do it. Right? Sacrifice some of that extra time. Now don't sacrifice your family time. All right. You don't want to be starting making some good money on the side and all of a sudden you are divorced with no family. Right. So always make sure you prioritize things in your life. That's very important. But things that are not so needed is more of a hobby. You know, going out and doing a card night with the boys on a Thursday night or whatever, you know, maybe sacrifice a little bit. Hey guys, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this for a few months because I'm building something on the side, which is going to be, you know, life-changing for me, my business, my family. It could be life-changing for generations to come. So, you know, that's a little bit of advice I'd share. Those of you guys that are looking to take things to another level.
I love that, Dave. Excellent advice, by the way. And the final question, and it ties right into what we're talking about here, is inevitably, no matter how much a teacher like yourself coaches and shares information and has a course, to help people along this process, there's some people who inevitably fail at it. So my question to you is, who fails at this and why?
That's a good question. Because it's an easy answer, believe it or not. People that fail at this business are the people that don't follow the proven path to success, which is what I've put together, right? And they try to do their own thing, or they think they understand it better, or they just don't do it, right? Obviously, if you don't do something, you're not going to succeed at it. But I would say those are the two main things. Either they don't do it, they just think buying, it's kind of like buying a gym membership, all right? It's great to have a gym membership, but if you don't go to the gym during the year, you're not going to see any transformation, right? You have to buy the membership, and then you have to follow the path of going there 3 or 4 times a week, right? Or whatever, at least a few times a week. And that's going to make a difference. If you don't do anything with this course, you're not going to succeed. I can tell you, there's no magic bullet. It takes work. It takes effort. Okay. Those of you that tell you, it's people that tell you there's a magic bullet, they are lying to you. Run the opposite direction. Okay. The second thing is the proven path to success. And there's so many people that will say, you know what, Dave, you know, you say to start on Etsy, I'm going to start on Amazon because you said I can make more money on Amazon. Yeah, you can make more money on Amazon. That's definitely true. But if you don't find the winners first, I think you might lose more money first on Amazon. All right. Yeah. Therefore, I'm going to show you the best way to succeed. Why? Because I've tested all these different things. Hence the proven path to success. That's why I say it the way I do. Okay. This is not something that I just started myself. I've been actually selling on Amazon since 2009, private label since 2013. I know what I'm doing because I do it for a living. All right. That's why I teach my students how to do it correctly. So if you don't follow that proven path, good luck with that. That's what usually I see people fail and lose money. And they say, I lost money in this business and I bought Dave's course. Did you do this and this? No. Oh, well, I am sorry. I share. Right. And the funny thing, Bill, is I will, and I say it in the very opening video of my course, make sure you don't do this because this is what people fail when they do this, and yet they still do it. So yeah. I can only lead a horse to the water. I can't force them to drink and to do it correctly. So it's like that.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that candid answer, and I appreciate this conversation. It's a bit of a double-edged sword for me, Dave, because the last thing I need is another side hustle, but guess what? I think I've got one now, and I'm actually pretty fired up and excited. Awesome. And I really appreciate how you mapped this out and showed how the business works without trying to keep anything secret. This was really powerful for me, and I think for our listeners too.
Awesome.
So if you are listening and you are getting as excited as I am about private label or the mugpreneur opportunity, visit sidehustlelounge.com. In fact, I'm so excited, Dave. I think I'm going to put this right on the homepage so people can find your information even easier. You don't even have to register on the VIP room, guys. Just go to sidehustlelounge.com and I'll have a link to Dave's information at his course as well. Dave, thank you so much for giving some time and value and energy today. Really appreciate you.
It was my pleasure. I thank you for having me on, and I'm glad we're able to make this happen. I look forward to doing more stuff with you before in the future.
Oh, you know you will. You're going to get to know me really well, I think, because I'll be in that course. All right. Thank you so much.
That was great. We're right there working with you, getting things building for your own business as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Side Hustle Lounge podcast. You know, if you follow me on Instagram and social media, you already know that my pets play a huge role in my life, and I include them as part of the family. They are part of my why. Dexter and Violet bring so much joy and love into my life that I always want to make sure that they are well tended to and healthy. That's where my Toto pet insurance policy comes in. Toto was voted best pet insurance company in 2021 by Forbes Advisor, and it's known as the pet insurance company with a heart and without the gotchas. There's no network of obscure vets that I'm forced to choose from, so I get to pick my pet's doctor. And then, depending on the policy I select, I can be reimbursed up to 90% of the vet bill. And they make it easy to use. You visit any vet, you submit a claim, you get cash back. It's pet insurance, finally, done right. If you'd like to support the show, get coverage for your own fur babies, and maybe even give yourself some peace of mind at the same time, get an instant quote today on Toto's easy-to-use website at sidehustlelounge.com/Toto. That's T-O-T-O.